This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, we're starting off on a negative tone. Over the weekend, we had some generally bearish global economic news. The International Monetary Fund cut back its global growth, economic growth projections. We saw China come in and report 2014 GDP growth, or the growth of its economy, at about 7.4%, which is the slowest growth rate that it's seen in 24 years. So overall, the sense is demand for the commodities is going to continue to decline, and so the funds are shorting or going on the sell side of the most of the commodities that are out there. So we saw lower crude oil prices once again overnight, and that's continuing into today's trade as well. And we're seeing the dollar push higher as well, near 11-year highs that it set last week. So overall, it's bearish for the commodities. Then you add on top of that this morning that we saw China, USDA report that China canceled some more soybeans, another 6.4 million bushels on top of the 10.5 million bushels that were canceled late last week. And it's setting a negative tone with soybeans leading the way down with double-digit losses.
Now, do we have the domestic demand to fill these gaps, or are we going to be trying to find other large export markets?
Yeah, demand is good for soybeans domestically and on the export front, although we're seeing the exports pull back right now. For corn, demand is good from the ethanol industry, although that's starting to pull back right now. But overall, as a whole, demand is not the problem. It's the supply has been bigger than that because we had such big crops in the U.S., as was confirmed by last week's USDA crop report. And now we're looking at a South American harvest that looks even bigger, so to speak, relative to past years. And they're going to further add to those surpluses. So it's not that demand is a problem. It's just supply is overwhelming that demand because of favorable weather. In today's genetics, we're realizing the potential of today's genetics, and this will probably continue to be the case until we see a major weather problem develop on one side, the equator or the other, and so far that hasn't shown up, and so we're probably going to see pressure on prices until prices can reach a level to discourage production and or take demand even to the next level.
And hopefully normalizing relations with Cuba will help add more demand. However, they are quite a small fraction as opposed to what China would bring.
Absolutely. China is the big elephant in the room, so to speak. They're the ones with the big demand and really impacting the global supply and demand balance sheets. Probably the best opportunities to influence market prices comes from Cuba with hard red winter wheat. It'll take some time for that to happen, but we should see some significant export increases in exports of hard red winter wheat. And overall, globally, when we look at the wheat supplies are more than ample, but quality protein supplies, which would be the hard red types of wheat, are rather snug. So if anything happens to disrupt that balance sheet over the coming year, then we could see a little bit more excitement in prices. So that's our best opportunity. Is to see a spike in hard red that would help pull soft red winter up. But overall, it's a little bit difficult for the market to get too excited about anything in the wheat market right now as well.
And how is the South American crop going?
Well, when we look at South America, we had some better-than-expected rains in Argentina, particularly focused on some of the areas that had been drier to the southern and western parts of the belt. Further north and east, where they'd been excessively wet, it's drying out, so it's generally favorable. So overall, corn and soybean yield potential looks good in Argentina. The same is true in Brazil. We've been seeing below normal rainfall in central and northern Brazil, which is starting to be a concern. However, good rains are expected for that region beginning the middle of this week, which in many cases should help finish the crops out and take them to harvest.
So it appears we're just building up global supplies.
It really is, and it's showing to the productivity of the farmer and what he can do in feeding a hungry world that the supply is definitely there when the weather cooperates. The only question is when will the weather quit cooperating at some point, As we look ahead to the U.S. Midwest spring right now, the El Nino appears to be dying. So then you look at other analog years with similar sea surface temperature type of patterns, and that would suggest that we could see a cool, dry spring for much of the Midwest. The exception might be the South, the Delta, and into the Ohio River Valley, which could see a little bit more increased rainfall during the period, but the rest of the Midwest looks to be cool and dry. As we look ahead to the summer, it's a little bit early right now without any clear dominating force of an El Nino or La Nina to be able to say which way we're going to go at this point, but at least at spring we're starting to get some of those indications of cool and dry.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. We'll hear more from Suderman coming up after this. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, told us what he's expecting to see in the livestock markets this week.
Well, as we look at starting first of all with the pork complex, we see that the cash hogs are weak as we start off to, trading this week. We're seeing generally that demand is fairly solid. We're seeing good, strong export demand. We're seeing good domestic demand as well, but the supply is simply overwhelming that. Slaughter supplies are above year-ago levels and at heavier weights, and that demand is simply overwhelming it. While the packers have good margins right now, near $20 per head, they're not having to use those profits to chase the market because producers are continuing to bring them more hogs than they know what to do with. On the beef side, we have a very interesting scenario setting up where the fundamentals have been much stronger than what the futures were because of how the futures were knocked down so bad earlier this month by index fund portfolio rebalancing, which turned the charts bearish. And when you take out the December lows in the month of January for the February contract, that generally, historically, generally means that you trend lower into the spring. And so the bears remain in control there. However, fat cattle prices have been well above where the futures are trading, a good $10 above where the futures are trading. So how will the two come together? Will the charts win out or will the fundamentals? And I think it really comes down to this week's trade. We've seen a dramatic pullback in movement of product. Product prices are pulling back as well. But we've also seen a slowdown of Australian imports that had been meeting a lot of that demand. And so we'll see how aggressive the packers are this week at being able to uncover cattle in the negotiated market. If they have to get aggressive, then we could see a bounce in an oversold live cattle market. If they don't have to get aggressive, then we'll probably see the cash start collapsing toward the futures market.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Sadie Gasman of Olney is this year's Miss Illinois County Fair Queen. Miss Gasman was crowned Sunday. She received her crown from the 2014 Miss Illinois County Fair Queen, Summer Robbins of Coffeen. Gasman competed as the Miss Richland County Fair Queen. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.